What's that?
Closing that, saying that we're.
Yeah, they're gonna tell you everything, they don't want anybody to get what. Down for this staff, like our friends are doing that, I said, it's weird, tell them all the sheep in.
The message would be, yeah, consistent. But they could tweak off of it, yeah, and use the fact. Yeah, I will. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll double hit him. Sometimes. Thank you, ma'am. We're 15 seconds away.
Well, you can figure out down to Kirby Flat.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. It's 9 o'clock here at the Ann Basker Auditorium. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners weekly business session. Please join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, I said that every single day when I was in the Senate, and I'm never going to get tired of it. First thing on the agenda, we have some administrative actions. A is approval of the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council Justice Reinvestment Grant budget. And I think, Michelle, are you here via Zoom to talk about that?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, the floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. I expect that you, as well as your colleagues, are familiar with the Justice Reinvestment Program. Every biennium, the County Community Corrections and Justice Delivery System applies for this grant, which helps us to deliver a coordinated and strategically targeted resources and programs that address core drivers of criminal behavior, including addiction and mental health services. Before you, you have our proposed budget for the next biennium that includes community corrections, addiction and drug treatment counseling, deputy sheriffs to oversee secure treatment, the LIPSIC coordinator, which is the organization of criminal justice and victim services providers who come together to bring you this plan for helping high-risk offenders, non-violent high-risk offenders to not recidivate, to overcome their challenges with drug and alcohol addiction and antisocial behaviors and return to the community, reducing recidivism and reducing our prison usage population. Today, I'm asking for you to look over the budget as we have prepared it, give us approval to go forward with that budget, and furthermore, to provide us with a letter of support for our grant application. And if all goes well, we'll be receiving approximately $1.7 million to apply to these programs.
Okay, Sheriff, did you have anything to say on this?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Questions, Commissioner Fowler?
No, this seems pretty housekeeping. There's not any big swings in the budget. And so, again, glad that you're on board, Michelle, and helping that group be effective. So thank you for taking that leadership role there.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and move on to item B, approval of support letter for the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council's Justice Reinvestment Grant Funds. And Michelle, you're up again.
Once again, this is essentially the commissioners demonstrating support for our application for these grant funds. The sooner that you get this thing returned to me, the sooner I can supply our application to the Criminal Justice Commission today. And really looking forward to getting your support.
Okay, Sheriff, do you have anything to say on this? All right, Commissioner Fowler.
Nope, not on that one.
All right.
Easily support it.
Yes, that's pretty good. Well, you're off the hook, Michelle. Thank you very much for joining us via Zoom today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to go and request comments from the citizens. Each person will be given 3 minutes to speak. This is not a back and forth conversation. I hope that everybody will be on their best behavior, should I say? But you can talk about any topic. You got 3 minutes, and let's just start. Are we ready, Wendy? Okay, we're ready. So who wants to be first? Jay, you stuck up your hand first, so you get to go first. Please state your name.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, commissioners. And I would actually love for the sheriff to go next because I think he may be here to talk on this topic as well. But Jay Meredith, resident of Josephine County, and once again representing the local company American Mineral Research. As you know, I've been in front of you many times in this capacity and many times in the past 2.5 years, because part of our mission is, as a private company, is to actually help Josephine County. Every extra dollar that can be earned from the county's public lands and also the federally managed lands is an extra dollar that can support our local law enforcement and justice systems. I need not repeat much of what has been said earlier in the year about the specifics of the 3 federal land lockup proposals that are targeting Josephine County and increase our local fire risk and withdraw hundreds of thousands of acres of environmentally friendly mineral development from environmentally friendly mineral development efforts and lock up billions of critical minerals and precious metals and timber. But the one other thing to keep in mind is that in our waterways and creeks are locked up in the name of protecting water, that land might be used for illegal grows because they have water and land that won't be as closely monitored. That's something else to keep in mind. These federal proposals are just plain bad and costly for Josephine County in all respects. I could also go on about how we've been warning this was coming for nearly 3 years and how the commissioners failed to act in many ways that they said they would to make an impact on this discussion. If I had the time to share all these juicy details, the average person would likely say, are you angry that the commissioners haven't taken this issue seriously and haven't followed through? I would say yes, but in the holy word, James 1 says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I understand that at the local level, it's tough to fight federal proposals. But 5 weeks ago, we sent you a certified letter that outlines a legal strategy that the county can take on to demand compensation for past federal legal actions that locked up a significant amount of lands in Josephine County. And this is also a way to stop the current 3 federal proposals. We estimate that Josephine County can demand at least $5 million per year for the past certain past illegal actions. Time is really of the essence here. Senator Wyden is moving quickly, and the county needs to move quicker. In the Capitol Press, Congressman Bentz was quoted as surveying all the county commissioners in his district, and 53 of the 63 commissioners were against the River Democracy Act, which means that Josephine County will have a lot of support for filing this lawsuit as recommended. If you build it, they will come. Josephine County needs to be the lead or sole plaintiff here due to past illegal land lockup actions in Josephine County specifically. In terms of the ONC agreement, that's one of the cornerstones of what we're proposing here. And this has been successfully litigated recently in the court of law. So let's build on that. If you build it, they will come. The sheriff agrees that Josephine County should take this action. The timber industry professionals agree that you should take this legal action. And most importantly, based on past advisory votes in Josephine County, close to 69% of Josephine County voters don't want more federally managed land locked up and would likely support this legal action as well. So please act swiftly, County Commissioners.
Thank you. Next, Dave.
Dave Daniel, Josephine County Sheriff, Josephine County, obviously. Commissioners, thanks for your time today. I'm not going to take the full 3 minutes, just a couple seconds, really. I implore you to please consider this legal action. Please take a look at it. On behalf of the Josephine County citizens, I think it's important. We saw what happened with ONC. They came in, they took land, they paid us for it, and now they've quit. This proposal, this legislative action that's going on federally is asking nothing. They're just taking. They're
right.
Not giving anything. So please put this on a high priority list for the citizens of Josephine County and public safety as well, which could potentially benefit from this. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Up front here, please state your name for the record.
My name is Don Belleville. I'm a resident of Josephine County. I desire the commissioners to oppose the three proposed congressional bills, 2021 River Democracy Act, Southwest Oregon Watershed and Salmon Protection Act, and the Oregon Recreation Enhancement Act. River Democracy Bill is probably the largest of those. As a preface to my remarks, I have a master's degree in forest and watershed management, plus a postmaster's education in forest ecology and silviculture. I retired from the U.S. Forest Service after working for 42 years in a plethora of different resource management positions. Specifically, I worked as a watershed protection specialist for over 13 years, and as a prescribed fire fuels and silviculture specialist for over 15 years. I want to address two topics. First, the River Democracy Bill proposes to increase stream protection buffers to 1/2 mile on both sides of the streams on essentially all federal lands within Josephine County. Under the current Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest Management Plan, these stream protection boundaries in existence right now are 300 feet on both sides of fish-bearing perennial streams, 150 feet on both sides of non-fish-bearing perennial streams, and 100 feet on both sides of intermittent streams, which are essentially streams that only run water when the water is melting from the snow or during a rainstorm. Increasing these protection buffers to 1/2 mile is patently absurd. Secondly, the proposed River Democracy Bill wants to overlay wild and scenic river designations on streams that are already covered under current federal land management plans. This will greatly increase the complexity of managing these lands and risk making these lands even more susceptible to wildfire. Having worked for a federal land management agency for 42 years, I know how they think in dealing with increased land management complexity. They default to not actively managing such portions of the landscape. There are many land management requirements on these local forests that already make them difficult and complex to manage. A wild and scenic designation on top of this will just further increase that complexity. If Josephine County residents want to have green forests, then active forest management is a must. They want a black forest, a burnt forest, then designate the lands as wild and scenic river or wilderness. This will guarantee that outcome. I urge the Board of County Commissioners to do everything they can to oppose these three congressional proposals.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I have copies if you interest.
Please, at the end, give them to Wendy when we're done. That'll be great. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
Tom Kitcher, president of the Waldo Mining District. Waldo Mining District was the first governing body in Southern Oregon. We were here in 1851, 1852, 7 years before statehood. The Waldo miners were key in creating the state of Oregon, were key in breaking Josephine County away from Jackson County. Josephine County has the highest number of placer mining claims in any other county in the state, over 900 claims within this one county. Almost every stream in Josephine County carries gold and other minerals. I personally was very affected by last year's Slater fire. It came within 200 feet of my home. We thought we were evacuated for 3 weeks. We figured we would lose everything. Upper Althouse Creek is where most of my claims are, is toast. I mean, you literally have bare sticks sticking out of the ground. The dirt burned up there. It was so hot. And yet, this is going to be preserved in these acts. It's going to close the mining. Withdrawal of all mineral or location and entry under the mining law. Every year, the federal government comes up with new regulations on how we keep our claims. It has gotten so complicated that it is very easy to blow your paperwork, lose the claim, but under a mineral withdrawal, you won't be able to reclaim it. The claim will be gone. Declaring this mile-wide buffer on these streams, all it's really going to do is condemn all of that land to burn. The fire crews that showed up a week after the Slater fire, they had maps in their cell phones of how to get out in the National Forest. Most of the roads aren't on their maps anymore. President Clinton changed the road policy. Forest Service roads used to be considered open unless specifically closed. They're now considered closed unless specifically open, and they removed them from the maps. I had to tell the fire crews that there were roads that went all the way right up into the heart of the fire. They were shocked that there were roads up there still. This whole idea is crazy. There's nothing democratic about this bill. It's basically the River Socialist Act. I urge you, please do whatever you can to stop this total land grab of our county. It's going to ruin everything here. We're going to burn. There won't be any jobs. The water will not be protected. I personally have measured. I've been working in Althouse Creek for over 30 years. I have never seen the water temperatures in Althouse Creek in late August on a 100-degree day go over 61 degrees. This year, it's averaging 68 degrees all summer because there's no shade on the East Fork. It's just getting baked by the sun. This isn't good for the fish. It isn't good for anything. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. It's good seeing you. Anybody else? Okay.
Joel Perkins, Cave Junction, Oregon. Lived in the community pretty much all my life. 35-year small business person. Mining, my family's been here since the 1800s. These infringements continually on our valley. We had a thriving economy 35 years ago out there with the mills and jobs. They've slowly taken those away, shut down the rough and ready mill, and then they promised to go to the small log mill, which they spent $7 million. Why didn't they come down and toted how great this was for the community? We got 50 jobs back. Within 2 years, the mill was just taken down and sold off in pennies on the dollar. My tax dollars. I got a $25,000 tax check to write today, matter of fact, to continue this kind of nonsense. And so at this point, I do believe there's 70% of the population that's good and they pay their bills. And then there's probably 30% of the population that you could tell them it's daylight outside and they're going to tell you it's dark. With that being said, we're in a dire situation here with the land grab that's happening at this point. I have mines out there, Briggs Creek area. They just taken away at the essential fish habitat, and And they didn't even notify any of the property owners, which are the claim owners. By law, that is, if there's a land change or something to do with land infringement, they have to be notified. They had their hearing for the public speaking, which we've been on that creek for 30 years. Mining in there. If they want to do a fish study, they should do the fish study with everything in place, the dredges, whatever's happening, because we know there's fish there. Those creeks are the cleanest creeks around, but they don't want to see that. They want to see something entirely different. And we've been watching this go on and the constant picking and the pulling. And then they come into an area after it's been cleaned up and claim victory on it, when it's actually the miners that are out there doing all the work, cleaning up all of the debris and that from the drug addicts and the things that have moved into certain areas. With that being said, the cartels will move back into the mountains. Because we cleaned them all up out there in the Briggs Valley without the fires that they burned all of us out of. That's the other problem that we're dealing with out there right now, is we got a lot of old timber that's now burnt. It's very dangerous along the roads, hazardous everywhere out there when the wind blows. Anyway, I stand behind Don Bellevue, Tom, and all the other miners in the valley. I urge the commissioners to stand behind these guys. If they got an option to follow, I beg you guys to follow it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, who's first? Okay. I'm glad you sorted out yourselves.
David Gwill, Grants Pass. I'd heard that you've accepted money for promoting experimental gene therapy shots. I think that's great, so long as the approved campaigns state the benefits, if any, and drawbacks of the injection, so as to allow for an informed decision, without which is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. Some suggestions. Without any form of medical intervention, COVID-19 has an overall average survival rate of over 99%. The COVID vaccines are not true vaccines at all. They're experimental gene therapy injections that irreversibly alter your DNA. The development was rushed, skipping numerous steps, such as a third of the phase 3 trial, and one of many reasons former Pfizer VP Michael Yeadon warns against them. This might help explain why they don't prevent you from becoming sick, nor from transmitting the virus, according to the CDC director. Their current efficacy has dropped to 42%, according to a Mayo Clinic study, and there's talk of boosters every 90 days. Natural immunity, on the other hand, not only makes you, well, immune, but also lasts more than a few months. There's also no long-term safety data, but currently they're responsible for, at the least, 13,000 deaths, more than the total of every other actual vaccine combined over a period of 30 years. You're more likely to die from the injection, according to one scientist. Note that normally less than 50 deaths are normally sufficient cause to immediately trigger a recall. Additionally, numerous doctors warn that many more recipients will die over a period of months and years due to blood clots, organ failure, and cytokine storms. There's also over 4,500 cases of Bell's palsy, 5,000 cases of myocarditis, the enlarged heart, over 6,000 heart attacks, 1,600 miscarriages, as well as an unknown determination of how much it decreases fertility or just outright sterilizes you due to attacking the testes and especially the ovaries. Given that the VAERS system only captures less than 10% of incidents, these are very conservative estimates. These are also not the only types of injuries. You can find more information at openvaers.com. And Dr. Ryan Cole, a Mayo Clinic pathologist that specializes in virology, breaks down the how and the why of the clot shots inflict the harm that they do. And I also have links to all these types of things here. If you think it's suddenly okay to get it because it was approved in some capacity by the FDA, a third of their approvals would get eventually revoked. Doesn't matter, because there are therapeutics that have been approved for more than 40 years, such as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and various vitamin regimens. These will not only protect and cure you, but do so without any negative side effects. Additionally, ivermectin is being suggested as a way to prevent or cure cancer. I have more information, which I'm willing to share with you guys if you want, like by email, as well as anyone else here if you want this stuff. So that's it.
Thank you very much. And any written information you have, please give it to Wendy, you know, at the end of the meeting, and okay. It'll get to our desks.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, who's Judy? Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners. Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. First, I want to thank, I'm so grateful that we have more people participating in our community coming to these meetings. And I hope you encourage that all the time, just to make it convenient for them. I know 9 o'clock is not good. Maybe even twice a month, we could have it at 6 or something, where the people that work, they just can't come to these meetings. So that's something just to consider. I appreciate everybody that's concerned about the mining industry. When I first came here 10 years ago, I went to their mining meetings, and I was so impressed by how much they knew the Constitution. These miners, they might have beards and they might wear the suspenders, but they will always outmatch us when it comes to the U.S. Constitution. So I'm very proud of them. And also the comments this morning regarding the vaccination. It should be, we are losing our freedom if we think, and local elected officials think, that we have to be forced on what may be a tyrant at the state level, says we have to do this and have to do that. Those people at the state level have to understand they have to be under the Constitution. And if they're not enforcing the Constitution, then it would be to your best interest that you keep that freedom to ours to make that decision on the vaccination. No matter how much money they con you into, it's not about money. It's about our freedom. And always keep that at hand. I grew up in a family where common sense made a difference. So regarding even the mask, we hear so much information, and I have shared it with you, given it to you, regarding Orlene Cole, who's head of the Eagle Forum, who's written 4 or 5 books. She's just the pandemic and the masquerade that they provide. She's got some great books out. But all the detriments of wearing a mask, all the detriments, and we've had meetings recently and at the 7th School District to make sure that the kids don't have masks this year, and there was quite a few attended a couple weeks ago and yesterday. So I want to encourage you to, if you have any influence on the 2 school districts, to make sure kids aren't playing out in the playground and they're having to breathe in their carbon dioxide and all the other crazies that go along with that. So one last thing I want to mention with time allotted is that I would like to see us clean up our community. I pick up trash all the time. I mean, like all the time, A-L-L, that's capital. And whether it's in a shopping center or whatever, out here, I picked some right out here where the trash can is overflowing because, you know, we have vagrants, et cetera. So if we could have some kind of a thing where we could organize in some of these main roads and just pick up boxes and trash, and we see old furniture and sofas that people drop off. We want people to be proud of this community. I am in so many ways. We have the natural beauty that was given to us by God. So if we could just clean up the litter and have people that want to set up a committee, and we do that, you know, maybe once a month, just to stress that, how can we continue to have a beautiful committee without all the trash that we see? So thanks very much.
Thanks, Judy. Okay, who wants to be next? Mr. Hinkle.
Good morning, commissioners. Craig Hinkle O'Brien. And I have this person that I watch, Mike Adams, and he's the health ranger, and he has Brady on and Natural News on BitChute. And from the beginning of this outbreak, he's been trying to, he has a lab in Texas, and he analyzes food products with it, and he can also hold low-grade pathogens. And he's been trying to find a sample of the coronavirus. And I sent you an email regarding whether the coronavirus does exist. And from the beginning, he's been unable to find a sample of the coronavirus. And now, recently, the CDC announces that they don't have a sample of the coronavirus. And actually, they've been using a 2003 sample of the SARS virus in order to use a sample for the PCR tests. And that's how they calibrate the PCR tests. So basically, if they test positive, you're probably being tested for somebody who had the SARS virus in 2003 and have particle remnants in their, but they turn it up, the PCR test up above 47 and 45. So you're reading nothing but background noise anyway. Anything over 35 is just background noise, and you'll get false positives. Anything below 20, you'll get false negatives. So basically, there is no SARS virus. There is a SARS virus, but there is no COVID-2 virus ever been isolated. And that's basically what the whole pandemic thing is, that we're treating the SARS virus or treating the COVID virus. And basically, the seasonal influenza and flu have completely been wiped out. If you look at the CDC, you'll see there's over 2,000, roughly 2,800 people that have had the flu this year, and over 2,000 of them are COVID with underlying conditions. And that's another thing in the hospital. When they tell you that the person in the hospital is unvaccinated, if you've had the single dose or the double dose of the vaccine, which is not a vaccine, it's, but anyway, 14 days after you've had the second dose or the one Johnson & Johnson, you're considered still unvaccinated. And if you've only had one dose and you were supposed to have two, you're considered unvaccinated also. So many of these people in the hospital could be just had one dose.
Thank you, Mr. Hinkles. Do we have anybody else out there? All right. They work in a team.
Morning, Commissioners. Judy Hinkle, O'Brien, We the People United, People's Rights. SMART. Secret militarized arms in residential technology. Wuhan was a test city chosen for China 5G rollout. It went live October 31st, 2019, 2 months prior to coronavirus outbreak. Flu-like symptoms are a verified health effect of 5G. It can exacerbate and cause the kind of illness that is being attributed to the coronavirus. 5G is a weaponry system, a sophisticated technology using microwave radiation and direct energy weapon. It is a phased array weaponry being sold and disguised as a communication system, but the frequency band it uses, 24 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz, are the same used in active denial system, which is crowd control. The Wikipedia describes crowd control as directed energy weaponry. COVID-19 virus and viral mRNA vaccine are activated by 5G radio frequencies. Our bodies act as transmitters and receivers of EMR and EMF. The 5G global rollout started right at when the pandemic started, 2020, lockdown after lockdown. We were told repeatedly to stay home within our Wi-Fi walls. Coincidence? European Parliament acknowledged long-term exposure to 5G RF radiation represses the immune system and establishes an environment favorable to viruses. Furthermore, the spread of viral infections accelerated by irradiation from radio frequency waves. And 5G was a cofactor when analyzing the present pandemic. Safe limits of radio frequency radiation on humans should not exceed 1 milliwatts per square meter. Wi-Fi enabled homes exceed what is safe for the human body, exceeding 1 milliwatts and falling into the extreme concern category. EMF is cumulative. Radio frequency is cumulative and eventually can trigger dormant viruses to become activated, inducing a disease state. It is believed that radio frequencies delivered through 5G may also trigger viral RNA incorporated into the body's DNA for vaccines to induce a virus-like disease state in vaccinated individuals. Where does graphene fit in? Graphene, is an excellent conductor of electricity and used widely in high-frequency electronics, including biochemical and magnetic sensors. Makes it possible to connect to the Internet of Things via 5G, such as smartphones. The bodies of vaccinated people are now superconductive, like your cell phone. Elon Musk talked about the vaccinated, the mRNA in it, and said that they're becoming crystalline humans, aka transhuman. 5G is here. It's in Grants Pass, and it's even in Cave Junction. And it's no coincidence that the first pandemic in 1917-18 was actually attributed to the first radio tower that was put up in 1915. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Do we have anybody else in the queue?
Sure.
Please state your name for the record.
Hi. My name is Sarah Bomker. I'm with Waldo Mining District, as well as I am secretary on the Minerals Advisory Board. And I have a question as far as the Rivers Democracy Act and having a map. We don't have a map. of what they're asking to take. We didn't have a map of the last takings with the wild and scenic. And it was Wallowa County that put together a map. They hired a company to put together a map to see the takings. And it's my understanding that we have a geologist that can put together a GIS layer for our county. And I'm curious why we aren't doing anything about it, so we even know what they're taking. Because names don't, you can have names of creeks, but they don't mean anything until you can see what they're taking. And a half a mile on either side goes ridgetop to ridgetop. It's not the creek bed anymore. They're taking entire mountains. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll try to respond to that question when we return to the commissioners. Anybody else out there? Sure, come on up.
Howdy, I'm Josh Bomker, Cave Junction, lifetime gold miner in Southern Oregon. First of all, I want to say, Herman, I appreciate all your efforts in Salem, like true hero.
Thank you.
And Darren, I want to thank you for in the past with the Minerals Advisory Board. You totally jumped in during that lawsuit that I was involved in, and you were right there. Like, I really appreciated that because there were some great times there in that meeting room. Yeah. And that's what I want to like segue into, you know, opposition for the county to have opposition against the Rivers Democracy and all this federal stuff coming down, because Josephine County has been hit time and time and time again over public lands. And I'm out there. I've seen it. All these guys, you know, it's all true. I don't know what else to say. I've seen it. My mining equipment was burned in the Slater fire. I lost it all. And so I feel the impact of what's already happened and what's going to happen. I mean, everyone knows this, you know, as far as fire control to land grabbing, all the middle ground that gets washed over and covered up because of bureaucracy, you know, as far as land management. This is big. This is huge. And I've seen the county work in the past in a very efficient way of being able to deal with the feds and state the county's position. And it's worked in the past. From Josh Bomker versus the state of Oregon, that's what I'm referring to. A lawsuit from a few years ago over suction dredge mining. So I know the county has the capacity to do it. And I believe, you know, most everyone who understands the situation understands the direness of it, because that's what it is. We're down to the wire. In my opinion, we're down to the wire, because the county, how much more can the county give? You know, I think it was someone earlier said, you know, that in the past, you know, with the ONC Act, there was an exchange of money for the land. And now there is no exchange of money to the county for this land. This is a full-on just takings. So if you visualize in the future of this pattern, where is the county going to be? Is it even going to be a county anymore? After, you know, Josephine County was built on public lands and whatever you want to call it, you know, natural resources. And this is... we'll do away with all of that. So I ask the county and the commissioners to please take swift action. Thank you.
Thank you. We have anybody else out there? Sir, come on up, sir.
Scott Cameron. And I talked to you, sir, at the flag group there last month, and I've been sending you videos. I don't know if you've watched them or not.
Some.
Okay. I see we have a couple of people here wearing masks. The science has been done. Masks do not work. It's like a barbed wire fence, a mosquito flying through it. That's how the virus works. So wearing them is extremely ignorant. On parade, and I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm saying that because the information is out there. There's about 30 different alternative news sources that people can go to online, and they can learn this stuff from the doctors, professionals like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. If you plug her name in online, you can watch her and she can explain She's just one of many doctors out there. I just watched some of her latest videos this morning. The doctors in the hospitals here and so forth, they're ignorant. They're listening to CDC. If people don't realize it, what we have happening here is murder on a worldwide scale. This is not hyperbole. This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. And if you know where to look and go look at this stuff, I've been sending information for quite a while now to people, and I get the idea that most of it is not seen. I didn't inundate with massive amounts, just a few a week and so forth. And it just, when I see you wearing a mask, sir, I look at that and I go, I realize you have not seen the stuff I've sent. You're actually doing damage to yourself. Most people don't realize that getting the vax, and it's still up on the county website. I don't know if you guys can do anything about that. It seems to me you're in charge of that. Maybe I'm wrong, but pushing the vaccine, you're pushing murder. Like Dr. Fleming said, who used to work works in this field and understands what's happening. He said, if you want to know what it was like to live in early Nazi Germany, you now know. The people are ignorant in general because they watch the propaganda coming across mainstream media. Mainstream media is owned by the government, and we've been taken over, and most people don't realize it. If you guys don't know, we're right here. I know, and you don't know. How are we going to change anything? There's so much information out there online for the moment. Some of these people have been deplatformed, and they've gone over to other platforms that have risen up to give us free speech. And if you're not watching that, you're in a matrix. You don't know what's going on. And I guess my time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Listening and letting me speak my piece. And I hope that you folks will go and look at this stuff. I'll keep sending if you're going to keep looking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else in the queue out there? Certainly.
I'm Karen Darnell, a president of Gliese Mining District. I would like to ask the County Board of Commissioners to follow the process performed by Wallowa County in the identification of lands in the federal land proposals, identify the areas of that, notify the property owners within those boundaries so they can understand what is up against them. And then I would also like to propose that the county inventory the mineral lands and the mineral resources within the county to help its position and fortify its position in this current federal grab and any in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the queue? Okay, we're going to return this conversation back to the commissioners, and we'll start with Commissioner Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Sure appreciate all you folks coming in today and the emails we receive. I do read them. I don't always respond, so there's just a lot of emails. And so, some people, I just don't want to get into a back and forth because we're talking about things that are opinions and not necessarily facts. And so the three bills, the River Democracy Act and the other two, are definitely a taking for our county. I don't know that we have the leverage to fight it since we don't own the land. It's federal land. But we can try. And I appreciate that you think the commissioners are all powerful and that we can fix this thing, but we can't. We can only do our part. And so I know there's a town hall coming up on August 31st. I did forward also a map And when I get the link to that meeting, I'll forward that too. I forward it to you, Jay. But anybody that wants it, send me an email and I will send it back your way. And it took about 6 or 7 weeks for Merkley's office to come up with that map, because we asked for it about that long ago. And the map is always in flux. They're like, well, this isn't the final map. It changes every day. And so I have one from a couple days ago. I'd be happy to keep forwarding that out. I believe you're so right about the fire danger increasing if the buffer increases. And there's been studies on those buffers. There was one up in Tillamook that had different buffers maintained on logged lands and found that there was no difference from 50 to 100 to 300. It was the same effect. All you did was leave more of the forest. And so we have clearly like pendulum swung too far one side for decades now, and we need to get that back into a reasonable forest management. But I still don't know if we can get there. We live in Oregon. We're outnumbered. The folks that are for logging and mining, were outnumbered by people that live in apartments or condos in some other town. Some large big valley up north there that we all talk about. We do have a once a month meeting at 5:30. Our meetings are more attended now than they have been in a while. So we want to try and maintain at least that one evening meeting to give folks that can't make it in at 9. Zoom is going to be available for public comment in the future as well. So we'll try and make it as accessible as possible. As far as people wearing masks, why would you go to your county commissioner for advice on wearing a mask? I didn't come from the medical field. So I'm not going to tell you to, yes, wear a mask or don't wear a mask. I'm going to say, hey, you listen, if you want to keep a business open that tells you to wear a mask, then maybe you should wear one. But I'm sure there's some businesses that are not going to comply. And that's their freedom of choice. And so I hope we don't get into a bunch. I was thinking, I got my season tickets for the caveman football, and we were going to go feel normal sitting in a crowd watching a football game. Well, now there's a outdoor mask mandate. So the school district doesn't have the capacity to enforce that. They're not going to hire some security company to come beat people over the head to wear a mask. But I'm afraid there's going to be a confrontation in the crowd between someone who doesn't want to wear one and someone who feels that everybody should wear one regardless. And so I have some concerns about how some of these outdoor events are going to go. Somebody mentioned natural immunity, and I cannot believe how that is not a part of the conversation. Why can't I have a natural immunity card that looks like your vaccine card? Because I'm actually better protected than you that had the vaccine if I have the natural immunity. But that never comes into the conversation. And they're finally coming around, it seems, to where, well, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to ever test again. And that doesn't make any logical sense, because they also say out the other side of their mouth that if you're vaccinated, you can still get it and carry it and spread it. You just may not get as sick. And so if you're going to test for anybody, you got to test for everybody. None of this picking and choosing based on vaccination. And so hopefully we'll get around to there. I know we have an active mining community, so we have to keep pushing. And like I said, the commissioners are not the end all. If we came out with some sort of strong language that said that everybody should follow every rule that comes down from the state, I don't think it would change a thing. People don't look to commissioners for their answer. They do complain a lot if we don't follow or say what they want us to say. Even YouTube wanted us to censor people at the mic. Of course, we're not going to do that. And so we finally had to, we got kicked off of YouTube, and I'm kind of proud of that. me make sure I didn't miss anything. The suggestion of like inventorying the private lands that are affected by this, I think is a good one. I don't know how to go about that or where we'd have funding for that. But it seems like many people that own property have no idea what's happening around them with this River Democracy Act and the other two that are following it. And so, and we are a live on the river community. There's a lot of dwellings along that river and all the creeks that are affected as well. And like I said, I did see the map and Josephine County is just covered. They grabbed every valley, every place that where two mountains come together, I believe is on there. And so it is a huge taking. And so I guess that's all I have, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Fowler. Let's start with Mr. Meredith. You know, when you get up to the mic and you say that the commissioners haven't done anything, I'm really disappointed because we have. We've sent letters. You've known that. We've sent personal letters to senators. We sent letters to everybody in the House. We've been working on this. We have had our legal counsel do an analysis on a lawsuit. The only way it looks like that that's going to work is if we get multiple counties to engage all at the same time, because we simply don't have the funds to do that. We simply don't have it. You know, I'm not the federal government. I can't go down to Constitutional Avenue in the Treasury building and print up money. I can't do that. Wish I could, but I can't. Feds can. So we are doing that. Tom, you and I have been through this fight before. This ain't our first, you know, we fought like heck up at the legislature over suction dredge mining. And here we go again. And we know what we're up against. It's tough, but we got to keep that fight going because it's our livelihood. It's our county. And I guarantee you, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley don't care about the rivers. They don't care about the salmon. They don't care about us. What this is a fundraising effort for Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley to raise funds for the environmental community across this country to get more Democrats elected. That's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with protecting these rivers or protecting salmon. So we have to keep fighting. And we have talked about, we're short a commissioner this week. But hopefully next week he'll be back. And on Tuesday, Wendy, I want to put that back on, that we send a letter asking for Josephine County to be withdrawn from this entire madness. And we'll get that sent. We'll also keep exploring the legal remedies behind this. Very complicated, very, very difficult. But we will keep doing that, I promise you. I think anybody that really knows my past, I'm a natural resource guy. I spent my whole life logging in Josephine County. So this is very near and dear to me. And it's a crime. It's an absolute crime. Tom, I think that's what I'm going to refer to this for now on is the River Socialist Act. I'm changing the name. Because that's exactly, there's nothing a democracy about. I'm sorry, ma'am, we can't have two-way conversation, unfortunately. That's our rules. So anyways, we'll keep working on that. You're right on the maps. I've seen some maps, but I said, can I have a copy of those maps? No, because the maps aren't complete, so we can't give you a copy. So yeah, here we go with the runaround again. The place to stop this is in the Senate, and I am having conversations with some of the people I know in D.C. from my old days as a senator. And, you know, the whole key to this is Senator Manchin and Senator Barrasso. That's the chair and the vice chair of natural resources in the United States Senate. That is the key to this whole thing, to defeat it. It's those two people. What I would call a conservative Democrat in Manchin, and a conservative Republican, Barrasso. So we are lucky there. Now, whether we can get them, I don't know. But That is our best chance to defeat that, is those two people. You agree with that, Tom? Yeah, that's where it is. So anyways, Judy, she already left. It's always nice to have her come and talk about things, and she's very passionate, and I appreciate that. The Hinkles, you guys come from O'Brien every time, and I just, my hat's off to you. That's a long drive, and the dedication and tenacity that you show here is, I want you to know, it's very appreciated and recognized, okay? The COVID, this COVID thing is crazy. You know, people have been attacking us, commissioners. I get things on Facebook. What's your plan? Be a leader. And I say, back, what do you want me to do? I hear crickets. Be a leader? What does that mean? What's my plan? What does that mean? Okay. I know I got a hospital full of sick people. I recognize this is a horrible disease. I get it. Okay. But I also recognize my community. And this community is 50-50 on the COVID. There is no question in my mind. That's just how it is. And you, as a leader for an entire community, cannot just single out one part and say, that's what I'm going with, or that's what I'm going with. You represent everybody. And you have to take those things into consideration. If you look at our website, there's all kinds of information. Our health director has done a great job. A great job. Okay? But do you think this is the only community that's suffering from COVID? I mean, they are blaming the Josephine County commissioners for the COVID spike. How about the spike in all these other counties? Is Josephine County commissioners responsible for those spikes too? Really? And you know, I learned in the Senate, 8 years in the Senate, and especially in leadership, you have to take a 30,000 foot view on a lot of this stuff. And I don't know how many of you are paying attention to what's going on around the world. Australia is on the verge of an absolute civil war. Absolute civil war. Their government has enacted martial law. And the riots in Sydney and Melbourne are unprecedented. Huge. And now I heard that the truckers in Australia are going to stop driving trucks. That ought to be interesting. And look at New Zealand. And the reason I bring these countries up, because I spent a lot of time in those countries. New Zealand, one COVID outbreak, and they shut the whole country down. One single one. You got to kind of scratch your head on that. Let's see how that goes. South Africa is in a civil war right now. Do you see that on the news? No. We see Portland with, you know, maybe 1,000 protesters. Start looking at South Africa. Check out 1 million protesters somewhere in that neighborhood. A lot. Absolutely unbelievable. Things that are going on across this planet. So, the COVID, you know, we've talked to the hospitals. The hospitals came and talked to us. I asked them, what can we do for the hospitals? I thought for sure they were going to ask us, can we make some temporary accommodations for people convalescing? Can we have more money? Can we get some COVID money so that we can, get more people to help us at the hospital? I asked them, you know what they told us? They said, you need to come out and tell people to get vaccinated. Do you really think that if Herman Bertschinger stands up to about 50% of the population in Josephine County and says, you need to get vaccinated, do you really think they're going to get vaccinated? I mean, that was such an eye-opener at the fairgrounds. We had a booth. We had signs all over the fair, free vaccinations. I think we're giving out a gift card or something too. And 15,000 people attended the fair and 49 people got vaccinated. You know what that tells me as a commissioner? That tells me that the people in Josephine County that wants to get vaccinated have gotten vaccinated. And the people that haven't been vaccinated, well, you know, we try to, we tell them, do your homework, have a conversation with your medical provider. That's all the power we have as commissioners. We don't have the power to mandate vaccinations. We don't have the power to mandate anything. You'd be surprised how little power we do have. Okay. Most people don't realize we don't even really have much to say what goes on in our health department. Their direction all comes from the Oregon Health Authority. Really, the only discretion we have in our own health department, Josephine, is the hiring and firing of the people there. That's about it. Everything else comes from Oregon Health Authority. My heart goes out to those sick people. I have a friend in the hospital right now, and I just got a text last night, not doing so good. So, you know, this hits home. This illness hits home, but there's a lot of illnesses that hit home. Don't underestimate this virus. Don't underestimate it. It can be bad. But we're going to have to work through this. We have to be smart about it. But boy, is there a lot of things going on in this world. A lot of things. Okay, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And we're going to move on to our consent items, Commissioner Fowler. So, well, let's see. Actually, we need to go to, don't we have to make some?
Yeah, I can make a motion for item 1A and 1B, since they're related there. So make a motion to approve those agenda items.
Okay, a motion is to be made to on agenda item 1A and 1B. These are both public safety coordinating council adjustment reinvestment grants. And I will second that motion. Wendy, could you please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes. Approved of 1A and 1B. Unanimous. Okay, now we can go to the consent calendar. Consent calendar today is for the intergovernment agreement with the Oregon Justice Department and Josephine County Community Corrections for drug court services. Do we have anybody here that's going to talk on that or on Zoom we know of?
Nope.
Okay, well, let me read. This intergovernment agreement was previously approved by the board on July 7, 2021. After sending it to the courts for signature, the Oregon Justice Department legal counsel requested some wording modifications as it relates to the services to be performed and the reimbursement and disbursement of the grant funds. No changes were made to the term and the total amount of the agreement. So I entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Sure, I'll make that motion to approve the consent calendar.
I will second it. Wendy, could you please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Okay, any other business to be brought forward the commissioner?
No, sir.
Excuse me. I get a dry throat from talking too much. Okay, so we're moving on to item number 6, matters from the commissioner. Commissioner Fowler?
Yeah, I don't have much. We, I shared most of mine in response to the public comment, but I just think that it feels like the temperature is being turned up in our community, and people are getting more and more vocal and a little bit snippy about your freedoms to choose versus the government's ability to mandate. And as was stated earlier, in our community, I don't think it's really half and half. I think there's about 40% that are on one side, 40 on the other, and then there's a little 20% in the middle that just don't give a rip. They're too busy with their lives or retirement or whatever it is to even care to vote or get involved or turn on the TV and watch the idiots speak from whatever angle they're speaking from. And so there's no possible way for the commissioners to navigate in a way that would make the entire community happy and happy and happy. It's just not going to happen. And so we are doing our best. I'm always going to land on the side of freedom of choice. We're not going to be the ones to tell you have to do something. But if by now, a year and a half in, if you don't have enough information to make a good decision, then you don't care. And that's fine. That's America. You can do that. We don't all have to have an opinion on everything. But like I said, now it feels like the temperature is and the pressure is rising. And so I ask everybody just to be civil. Would you be have some decorum? Be kind, be patient. And a big one, which is totally separate from all those other discussions, is that we've made it this far through fire season. And I'm not sure if it's by God's grace or by some of our diligence, because some of the first responders getting out and putting out those fires really fast, but we haven't had that major fire event. So whatever we're doing, let's keep doing it. Be smart, be safe, and let's not start our own fire. If God starts it and lets it burn, we don't have much choice. So keep praying. And keep being smart about what you do on your property, because like I said, we made it this far, but that, I think Herman called it that, like August 15th to September, end of September, somewhere right in there is some of the worst and the driest and the end of the season. And so, and that's when we got one last year. And so, let's just be careful. So maybe we'll make it through it without a fire, because we don't need that on top of everything else. We don't need that right now. And you know the resources are already stretched on those other fires, so we'll have trouble getting help for ours. So that's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I just I'll leave it with this. I'm saddened how all these issues become wedge issues in the United States, and it's people against people all the time. It really saddens me that that's where our politics have went. And what really saddens me are the casualties along the way. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
All right. 10:05. We're looking at everyone's making ours, and then we wait for our chair to get back to do it. And no, we looked at another one to slide in. That was Curry County. And they said something about employees not promoting what the governor was saying. And so, but they don't have a health department. They've been taken over by the state. So we'd have to say everybody but our health department won't be promoting. So we're still looking at trying to put it together.